Will you turn with me, please, to the passage that we read and the very last section? That is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're now looking, or going to be looking at verses 24 verse 24 to the end. And as we've read from the Church Bible, that version, I'm now going to read from the Living Bible. This is a paraphrase, but brings it over in a very vivid way. In a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets first prize. So run your race to win. To win the contest, you must deny yourselves many things that will keep you from doing your best. An athlete goes to all this trouble just to win a blue ribbon or a silver cup. But we do it for a heavenly reward that never disappears. So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I fight to win. I'm not just shadow boxing or playing around. Like an athlete, I punish my body, treating it roughly, training it to do what it should, not what it wants to do. Otherwise, I fear that after enlisting others for the race, I myself might be declared unfit and ordered to stand aside. Well, we have a ready-made illustration this morning in the current Olympics that are taking place in London. I trust you've heard of them. But as we start, can I say something that is found in another part of the Bible that seems to ring so true? Where the title this morning of the Christian race, and I've got the "to run to win" is my theme. Run to win. But as we look at running to win, I was reminded of this verse in the book of Ecclesiastes, who said, the author of Ecclesiastes said, "Again I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all." Earthly running is a chancy business. The race is not to the swift, says Ecclesiastes. We say, how can that be true? Well, the favorite gets tripped up. There's a last-minute health scare, and he can't take part. The one certain to win doesn't win. I can remember Colin Jackson, who had won everything in his races, went to the Olympics, and just at that moment his form dipped, and who won but the one he was sharing a flat with? A country pulls out of games and their stars can't compete. We know that earthly honors are a chancy business. Some honors are well deserved and others are ill deserved. The person is in the right place or in the right team at the right time. And that can mean success, or conversely, it can mean failure. If you're in the wrong place at the right time and you've had something for breakfast that gives you food poisoning or whatever. Time and chance happen to all. But I offer you this morning, all of us here, a better race, a more certain race. And every time these next 2 or 3 or 4 weeks that you'll be hearing about or watching the Olympics, I want you to think, and I want to think with you, about this race. The race that you and I can be in. It's a better race, and it has a more certain outcome. Take the Olympic torch. Did any of you get to carry it? If not, you must be the only ones who haven't carried it. Everyone has carried it. But I offer you, and only Christians, the opportunity to carry the torch of the gospel in 2012. We here can carry the torch of Jesus Christ in this race. Well, what does the apostle say in his letter to the Corinthians? The first thing he says is this: only one wins, run to obtain the prize. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? And the apostle Paul was taking the image from the Isthmian Games. He's writing to the Corinthians, and that's where some of the Greek games took place. And they were famous, and people strained, and they built their reputations and honors on athletics. So here are the early Olympics, if you like, or a version of them. And he's saying, in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize. Now, he's not saying that for a Christian, only one person can be saved, only one person wins. What he is saying is, we're to run as if that were true. We're to run in a way that secures for us the victory. The point he makes is this, that is how you should run. That is the attitude. Let me explore that image. You watch a race, and there's a person running at the front, and perhaps two people, and they're well ahead, and they seem to be running so well, but they're not in the race. They are pacemakers. They're there to help the others get a good time or to break a world record, and then they drop out. But there's somebody there who's there to win. There are people there who are striving every nerve. They watch, they follow, they observe the pacemakers, but they're not concerned about being in the front at that point. They're concerned to win the race. And the Apostle Paul is saying to the Corinthians, that's my Christian life. That's why I'm not using my rights. That's why I'm not expecting to be paid. That's my reward. That's why I'm a Jew to the Jews. I'm a Gentile to the Gentiles. To the weak, I'm weak. To the strong. He's saying, I'm all things to all men because I'm there to win. I'm there to get home. I'm there to serve the Lord in this wonderful race. Let me put it another way. If you're only content to do what others do, then our spiritual life will be pretty miserable. If all we're doing is copying others, if all we're doing is pacemaking, if all we're doing is being just there with the other runners, what a disappointment we will be to ourselves and to the Lord. You'll wonder all your life if you're really a Christian. Let's take another example from Paul's life. The church at Antioch wanted to send out missionaries. And Paul and Barnabas, the lot fell on them, and the Holy Spirit showed the church that they should go. And Paul and Barnabas said, we'll go. We'll go to Cyprus, we'll go to this place, and we'll preach the gospel. And they went, and John Mark went with them. And John Mark, for some reason, wanted to go home at some point. And they could have said, okay, let's wrap it up now. We've made this exploratory journey. But Paul and Barnabas went on to Asia. And they went around Asia and they came back. And if you remember last week, I described the second missionary journey when they went throughout Asia. In other words, Paul is saying, I want to take the gospel to Cyprus, to Asia, and the vision to come over to Europe, and I'll go to Europe for the gospel. I'm in a race. I'll strain every nerve. I want to do more than others. They may have their role, they may have their place, they may be led of the Lord, but this is how the Lord is leading me. And I'm not pacemaking for anybody else. I'm not content to be in the peloton. That's the group of riders who are just, you know, people are in that bunch. But in that bunch, there's one with a yellow jersey, or there's one who wants that yellow jersey. The Apostle Paul says, I'm not in the peloton, I'm there to win. Isaac Watts said, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering, if far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Now, we see these weeks, don't we, the commitment of these athletes, just amazing. And they said of Bradley Wiggins, who won the Tour de France, that after disappointments and ill health and failures, he rebuilt his life, his diet, his trainer, his routine to win. And they do it, says the apostle, to receive a perishable wreath. They would be given a wreath of pine leaves, and that would fade. You can put it on the mantelpiece, but it won't look the same in a year's time or 2 years. Perhaps a gold medal will last a bit longer, but it's still perishable. But we are in this race for an eternal crown. Are you in the race for an everlasting joy and wreath? I've been looking at advertisements for the Olympics. One paper said, "This is it." And I thought to myself, no, this is it. This is the race, what I'm talking about this morning. Don't run aimlessly, says Paul. Don't run aimlessly. I do not run aimlessly. You sometimes not only see pacemakers, but you see people running up and down the track, and you think, wow, they're good runners. They look so strong, so athletic, but they're only limbering up. The race hasn't begun. Sometimes we can be just there and limbering up and say, one day I'll get in the race, one day I'll get started, but not yet, I need to get ready for this. Get in the race. Is anyone here this morning who is not yet a Christian? Get into the race. What is your aim? What is my aim for our life? What do we read? When do we pray? Who is our role model? What's your spiritual target for this year and next year? Who are you praying for? Who are you trying to reach for the gospel? Paul says, I'm not shadow boxing. I do not box as one beating the air. Some people have translated this as shadow boxing, but others say he's actually in a fight, but he's missing with the punches. And we could say, oh, he moves beautifully. He's a great boxer. Jabs and feints, but he's not connecting. Or if he's shadow boxing, there's nobody there. It's all a pretense. He's putting on a good show. If you and I were to be surprised, to be seen at work, at home, or at leisure, would we be seen shouting at our family, impatient with our children, angry with our neighbors, bitter towards the church, pleasing ourselves rather than the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do we have a goal to know the Bible better? The Apostle Paul was in prison. And you know what his message was to Timothy? Bring me the books and the parchments. His life was coming to a close. Why was he bothering with books and parchments and studying and learning? What was the point? Because he's in a race. He was in a race. He was always learning. He wasn't shadow boxing. You know, we have a real adversary, the devil. He's real. But are we shadow boxing? Or are we really in a struggle and in a fight? And then he says, but discipline yourselves to run. Thirdly, discipline yourself to run. I discipline my body and keep it under control. Self-control. In another place he says, work out your own salvation. What's your training plan? I can remember Elizabeth, my wife, asking one of our children what his plan was to study for his exams. What his timetable for study? And he was quite obstinate, and he said that he didn't have a timetable. And Elizabeth said, okay then, you don't have a timetable, what's your plan? And very smartly he answered, my plan is to have no plan. I think there are many Christians like that. No plan, no goal, no target, nothing to aim for, just drifting along. Is that us? Have we joined in? Have we started spiritual discipline in any kind of way? Perhaps to pray for someone different every day, or the same one, or to build ourselves up in the faith, or to commit ourselves to a particular kind of work. The Apostle Paul says to the Philippians, brothers, join in imitating me, he says. I wish of us could say that, but Paul could, because of his total commitment. Imitating me, in that I am imitating Christ. That great hymn writer Isaac Watts speaks about taking my life, my hands, my voice, my silver and my gold, my will, my love. He's thought about the various compartments of his life. He's thought about the totality of his life. And he's saying, Lord, will you come in and be Lord of this and Lord of that? Will you help me be devoted and committed and serve? He's training himself. He's preaching to himself. He's struggling with himself. And the Apostle Paul says he's disciplining his body. He's beating himself. He's watching himself. Discipline yourself to win. And then, lastly, don't get disqualified. How often we're going to hear this remark over the next few weeks. He's run out of his lane, he's disqualified. He's taken drugs, he's disqualified, he's been sent home. He's done this or that and he's disqualified. This person has trained for 4 years and more, and they're disqualified at the most important moment. I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. The Apostle Paul keeps the image of the games, because at the games there would be a herald calling out the runners to come. And he's saying, after I've preached the message that the games are starting, how terrible that I'm disqualified. We can be in a pulpit and we can be disqualified. We hear time after time of terrible scandals. People who have given what appears to be a wonderful testimony, and then they're disqualified. When you hear something about them, and what do people think? They think, well, that person's disqualified. Let's not get mixed up in things that are borderline, but to run the straight race. Let's not go in the wrong lane, make bad companions, follow bad examples. Having preached to others or shared with others, this applies to all of us. After we've shared, after we've claimed to be Christians, after we've said to our friends, what you need is what I have and what I offer, then to be disqualified. Then to find to our shame that it hasn't, that gospel hasn't truly worked in our own lives. And we lose our reward. Let me say in finishing, of course, that this is a gospel of grace. God forgives. God has forgiven us in the first place, and He continues to be a forgiving, loving God. And our reward will be due to the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done. And there are times when a fall will have done us the world of good, will have taught us humility and repentance and the weakness of our own hearts. And sometimes that runner will fall, but he'll get up and he'll finish the race and he might even win. But let's not get disqualified. When we've shared with others, apply it to ourselves as well. I heard of one preacher on his deathbed saying, "The preaching is over, but this is still true for me." And he was ready to go and meet the Lord. In terms of rewards taught in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 3, the apostle says, if what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. And in 2 John verse 8, watch that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. The parable of the talents speaks of the reward of the master being pleased with our work and accepting us and favoring us. And we read also of those who are disqualified, those who said, when did we see you? When could we have done a good turn to you? When could we have given you a cup of water or visited you in prison or done this or that? Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these little ones, you did it to me, or you didn't do it to me, in not doing Christian works of service and the activities of the life of faith. Dear friend, run to win, serve, help, give, share. Look for opportunities to love others, to share the gospel with them. Run to win. Let's not get disqualified. May God help us to look at these images of racing and running and athletics. And every time we hear of that, let's apply it to our Christian lives. Next week, I hope to look at perseverance, sanctification and perseverance. And the week after, I trust it'll be worth you coming back to hear about the gold medal, to hear about the reward, to hear about standing on the podium. May God help each one of us to reach that place.